Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Or I don't know how many people are going to come. Since I usually don't speak very loud, if you want, you can go here more to the front. So my name is Jean Paes, and I'm a long-time PD user. Just know, how many of you use Pure Data or know Pure Data? Just for me. Okay. Or how many of you don't use Pure Data or have never seen it before? but just to know, because this workshop, you don't need to know Pure Data, but it's more profitable if you use it and try out things yourself with our laptops. And also just to know if some things, concepts that I speak about, if you don't know them, then I can explain them or I can just go ahead with the rest. So, first of all, there are the files for the workshop. Yes, there's a USB stick there, which has the same as this download link. Okay, go ahead. Hey. Okay. Good. So, just so.
Is it Wi-Fi?
Yeah. It's called. Sorry, what was Wi-Fi again? C-base.
C-base public.
Yeah.
Yeah,
3Ms, yes. But there's also the USB going around, the USB stick going around if you can't find it.
What's the word in the middle of this URL?
PMPD, that one?
And the next one?
JMMMP.
Yeah,
that's my name. I'll ask about. Kann das Beamer noch ein bisschen scharf gemacht werden? Ich denke, Sie können nicht so gut lesen. So, just to ask again. This workshop will run in Pure Data vanilla, at least that's where I've prepared it. Who doesn't have Pure Data, just for me to know. Okay. Good. In that case, I think you can find it in just a second. You know where to find it now? Okay, good. Okay, good. I think most of you at this time already have the zip file with these two folders, I think. So the workshop PMPD is self-explanatory. The link? Okay. Yeah. In workshop PMPD is self-explanatory, I guess. The PMPD, that's the folder with the library, with the external library. And I compiled here together all the versions, the latest version for all the platforms, for all the operating systems, Windows, Linux, and Macintosh. And you probably don't need the newest version. It's just that since I didn't try with other ones, I don't. And then anyway, then you will already have it in case you decide to continue with work with it afterwards. And. So the best way to install this is to copy this into the externals folder of Pure Data. I imagine I'm the only person in this weekend using a Windows computer, so I can't show you anything. Exactly. So I can show you at much where to find the externals folder in the Ubuntu or anywhere else. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Anyone wants the files directly? In? Or everyone is served. I just want to do a setup first before we start, because there are also a couple other libraries. Everyone already has the workshop PMPD files? Okay, can you open the first batch, which begins with 00? The 00 PMPD GMP, which is this batch here. And watch on the console if you get any error messages for missing externals or something. If you go here to the patch, here to the libraries section below, it's a list of the libraries that you should install also to run these patches. There are a couple of external libraries here from, so PMPD you already have, but the other five ones, you can get them through Deccan, which is the best and fastest way. Just so everyone knows how to use Deccan and to find extensions. Okay, no problem. Yeah, okay. Then go here to help and here find externals. And then just type in the name, one of the names you want, for example, Cyclone, press enter. And it will list in your own operating system the libraries you have. Then you just have to click the newest one and then it will install it. Or maybe you have to click install or something. Right, can have a look.
What
are you supposed to click? So it's 00. Ah, no, you're in the wrong folder. It's the, that one. 00 PMPD. Yeah, exactly. Click here. Yeah, and now you install it. And that should be enough. Then you have to do the same for the other ones, except for PMPD.
Game installed by my system's package manager.
Okay, good. Then it's okay.
It will search, show up in this search.
It will as well, but in that case, don't worry about it. You already have it.
So if there's no error, everything is okay.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I just check. Ah, very good. Ah, yeah, using pure data. Okay, then you have mostly all libraries already, I guess.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Couldn't find
the externals. Yeah, of course, no problem.
Standard one from the
Okay, yeah, it doesn't have it. Which version is that? Is that an older version?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I just grabbed the QData from here.
It might be another one. Maybe you would have to find it, get it from the website instead.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This one. Yeah.
They also have the
current one is 048.
Okay.
So the
okay,
they didn't really kept the suppositories updated. Someone else need any help? Okay. What's here in the help? Oh, okay. Which version of PD is that? Can you see about PD? Using PD extended. Okay. It might be better to use. Well. Yeah, the problem is that PD extended is already a bit old, and the libraries might not be updated, especially mine. If you can access Pure Data Vanilla quickly, that might be better. It might be better to download it from Miller Packet's website, because I think he was just complaining that the version in the depository isn't updated. That is in the other folder in the zip file.
So no, I'm about this label. Source for, so I can't install this.
You don't need it because you can install it if you want. Yeah, I also copied it in the USB stick, but you can install it from here, I guess. It's just that Cyril told me that the latest version is rather in SourceForge.
This Cyclone here, when I search for Cyclone,
yeah,
I get this Deccan plugin first. and then the actual cyclone. So
okay. Yeah, no, choose the cyclone. Yes. I don't know why he's asking for that.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Okay, Harting's looking. Who is not ready yet? Okay, okay. Then, do you mind then if we start slowly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, then catch up. Can try to catch up on you one. Okay, good. So, this workshop is an introduction to the PMPD library, the physical modeling library that was made in Pure Data. It's not an introduction to physical modeling itself. It's although you'll get an idea by using the library how it works, because I'm not a theorist about physical modeling or similar things. As far as I understood, almost all of you are Pure Data users anyway, from the latest count. Okay, so I think you don't need me to tell you what is a float, what is a symbol, and things like that, I guess. Good. Okay, so you have then the folder there with several patches. You can start with we can start with the first one. You can feel free to try out things while we go along. All the patches should have examples that you can work around with, and a small explanation of what's happening. Okay, so the PMPD library is a library that simulates physical behavior. And it can be used both for audio and control rates. In this case, today we're going to work only on control rate objects. We're going to see later the list of objects that we're going to see. The audio objects will have to remain for the next workshop or something like that. So I think, does everyone knows what physical modeling is, just for me to know? Is that a yes or no? Or I think it's a yes, so maybe I don't need to read this. I'll just do it in three words, so that physical modeling is a simulation of a behavior, of relations between elements, and not reading of data or something, which would be a difference between playing a wavetable or a sample, and between letting a circuit play by itself. So here was a small indication of what that is. Just a second. Okay, about the PMPD library. So there are several models for physical modeling, and the PMPD library implements one of them, which is the so-called mass spring system, where it's connected by mostly by two elements: the masses, which are the bodies, and then the springs or links, which are what connect these masses to each other. So let's see. So and this we're going to see this first stage is going to be a bit of theory. It might be a bit abstract, but then as we go through the examples, hopefully everything will be clear as well. So if you don't understand everything, then you can always ask, but then later things will get clear when we start to look at numbers and other details. So the way that a mass spring system works is that you have masses connected with links, and they interact through changes in position and forces that in a kind of a feedback loop between both of them. So this library was programmed by the French programmer Cyril Henry. Second. And as you might have seen, in the folder, it has the external files and the help files. You can also later have a closer look at them when you afterwards. It has a manual, a small PDF. and it has several examples that he did. So most of the examples that I'm showing here are examples from him that I improved and added, for example, a gem or an audio demonstration to make it clearer what's happening. And then you can also see other details online. You see Cyril Henry's website has more materials, and probably you can get the latest version of PMPD there. And has also some artistic work that he does. I don't know if you've ever been in a, have you seen Cyril live or have been in a Pure Data conference. Usually plays in a duo with a friend of his, Christophe Mont-Germont, I think, where they do a kind of... Nicolas Mont-Germont, sorry, yeah. where they play in an audio-video duo. Usually very impressive performances. Good. And you can also get more of his material here, including not only recordings, but also patches. So you can also have a look in detail what he does. So, of course, what he does is going to be very much more complex compared to what I'm going to show you today. Anyway. Good. Okay. So here starts then with some concrete details. Here's the list of objects that belong to this library. So you have the main building blocks, which are masses and links. And first of all, you have the three different kinds of spaces, depending on how many dimensions they have. You have spaces in one dimension, in two dimensions, and then also in three dimensions. I think for now there's not more than dimensions than that.
Sorry.
Yes.
On my screen, these objects around them.
Yeah, the library isn't loading.
Library isn't loading.
Yeah. Is it installed?
It's just here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This folder, so should I copy it somewhere?
Yes, you have to copy it to the externals folder, to PD's externals folder.
Like this?
Yeah, that should be it, yes.
So I should merge this.
Yeah, do that, yeah. Unfortunately, I can't help you with Ubuntu. Sorry. It doesn't hurt, yeah. You usually only have to restart the patch, but anyway, it's fine.
So now
I didn't get error messages, so that looks good. Yeah, okay, that looks good. You didn't get error messages.
Thanks.
Okay. So these two masses and links are the basic building blocks of everything. And then you have other objects which interactors and test objects. Interactors, they kind of simulate links or are like general control for links. And then the test objects, they what they do is just to report current information on certain elements. They're good just to get data so that you can use it to control other things. And the workshop will be dealing with this group of objects today. This is another one that unfortunately I can't speak of today. These ones here is basically the same library. The difference is that, as you're going to see soon, these are single objects that you have to connect with each other in the traditional PD way, connect the mass with the link, etc., etc. These objects here, you don't do any visual patching. You do everything by scripting, sending text messages. So you can create complex circuits just by sending text messages. But I think this is maybe a bit too complex to do in 2 hours. So anyway, what you learn here, you can always use later in this area. And unfortunately, I won't go into audio today, but that is the same principle. Let's see. Okay. Good. Now to start with something, you must have at least a minimum circuit, which is a group of two masses connected by a link. That is the minimal circuit you can have. Okay. So what happens, and this can be either, let's see. So these are the two minimal cases where you have two masses which are connected by a link and move themselves, or then one fixed mass that isn't connected to another max. We're going to see some concrete examples of this later. So as I said, now it might sound a bit abstract and you don't know exactly what it means, but then when you see it later in action, it will make more sense. Okay. Good. Okay. One other important concept of PMPD is the question of the object network. So the objects in PD, differently from other pure data objects, all the inlets are called, so that you can send numbers to a mass or a link and nothing will happen. It only happens when you send it a bang. So that means to make an object network work, you need to have a metronome that you feed to it. As a experienced PD user, you might think then that means I'm going to have lots of bangs and connections and lots of wires. That's not really necessary because the first parameter for each PMPD object is always a variable, which is the same as a send-receive object. So for example, if I click here a bang to send $0 foo 1, it's the same as if I click a bang in the mass itself. So that means if you have an object network which all the masses are called mass, you send a bang, you can do something like this. You can send a bang to a mass, and this will activate. We'll also do the calculations for all the objects that belong to that. So in a way, the first parameter is always the identifier for the network. Because if I send a number here, I'll just repeat it, nothing happens. Actually, I get error messages. Because I'm sending the wrong information anyway.
Which letter is prepend?
Prepend, that is probably mine. Yeah, that's mine. Which is basically just a list prepend and list stream. And I think I copied from someone else.
Do I get that from
the DM? Yeah, it's a JMMMP. Okay. So. I can also just show one thing. For example, now we have here a circuit with just a mass sitting somewhere. And what happens when I click it? So you have already a mass in two dimensions. And here the masses have three outputs usually, the position, the force, and the velocity. What happens if I run this circuit? I'm going to make now... this is an object in my library. It's just a metro. That I switch on and off. What happens now is that you see the position doesn't change, the velocity doesn't change, the forces change, but the values are so low that you don't even notice anything. So basically, it's just a mass standing somewhere. There's no link, there's no connection to other mass, so it's just nothing is happening in this circuit. So I would say this is less than basic because there's really nothing to see here. Good. Okay, now there will be a bit more things to see slowly. when you bang a mass, you get the position and the force the position, the force, and the velocity from it. And the links, then this goes usually to a link, which then calculates the force that is going to be applied and then feeds it back to the mass. You can see now some examples here. First, you can turn this meter on, so this is going to start now this network for these examples, where it's going to be send a meter every 0.3 seconds. You can also then open the PD mass subpatch, and you see there. So here, you see that this mass is the network is active because you see here the values changing very few. There's nothing happening. Now what I'm going to do with these boxes here is that I can apply a force to it. So for example, if I apply a force to it, you see now if I press to 1, this value here begins to add every 300 milliseconds, every time it receives a bank, it's adding. Because I apply the force of 1 and now the position is changing. Until I do something else, since there is no dampening, the position is going to keep changing. Now if I apply a force of minus 1, it evens out and the mass stops. Now if I apply a force of minus 1 again, then it starts to go the other direction. It means it starts to move backwards. By the way, something I didn't say clearly, this is a one-dimensional object, so that means the mass can only move in one dimension. Doesn't matter if I do this or this now, it's only one dimension. Let's see. So if I also see, if you click one of these numbers, you also see that the applied force changes for one bank, one cycle, but then it comes back to zero because nothing, it's not being fed anything else. And then you can also change it as you want. You can keep applying forces and then you see that it kind of evens out. So here is indicated what is the current sum of the forces. So now the sum is 1. So the mass, you see here the position is changing. You also see the velocity is of 1. For example, if I now stop this meter, then the circuit stops because there's no calculation more happening. I can now do whatever I want here. Nothing is happening. So I have to turn on the meter so that something happens again. Okay, is it a bit clearer now? I can interpret that as a yes or a no, but good. I'm going out to the side of the links. Just a second. I'm going to show here. Okay. So now we have here three links with different parameters. And it's the same, this is just an example, it's the same principle. There's a point here where you can apply some forces to them. And here I put in just these sliders. They're not to operate, they're just to show what is the current position of the masses, if there will be any masses connected to them. And here you're going to see, in these arrays, you're going to see the history of the forces. For example, if you click now on 1, you see that the output values of the links have changed, and now 1, the link sends one force of 1 to the one side, and then to the other side is that has the opposite force. So just to explain again, a link is something that is between two masses. So if you send a force of 1 to one mass, it will send it again to the other mass, but in this case with these parameters, it will have the opposite value from the mass that is receiving it. I think you can call it a spring, yes, because this is a mass spring system. Yes. So usually the word link is what's being used by the library, but I think spring would probably be the correct technical term. I think it's rubber. You mean rubber? I think spring might be the.
But elastic connection.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the parameters of the links are, first of all, the name. That's common to all PMPD objects. It's the name that from your network, which is same here as here, and also as here. That's where the banks are coming from. And then it has the length of the link, which now is not very important because this is only a link. in space with no masses attached to it. These are the three relevant parameters now, which is the rigidity, the damping, the link damping, and the mass damping. So here you see the rigidity of one, then you apply a force of one to it, and you will get exactly the same thing on the other side. If I now, for example, change this to 1/2, means I only get, if I send a force of one, I only get the force of 1/2 outside of the link. And because these two parameters are zero, I get the opposite force from the other side. So as I said, I hope things will be clearer later, because now I'm teaching a bit of theory in abstract. When we see more than concrete examples with real maxes interacting, then probably, hopefully, it will get a bit less dry than now.
What is a mass, if I may ask, anyway, so I can't imagine these models you're speaking of. How do they map to the real world?
That's that's a general problem. The thing is that they don't, unless you want them to. This library is a bit in abstract. For example, all these forces that I'm applying and the weight and everything, there are no real-world physics here connected. So I'm not speaking about kilograms or grams or any other newtons or anything. You can try to map it to real-world values if you then know the values and know how to change them.
Not the values, I just need some concrete example of this interaction.
No, I think it will be a bit more clear when we have more examples which show more. Now I'm just showing really the elements singled out, which is a bit not easy at the beginning. Yes?
Maybe you just show once graphic rendering, because then it's really clear.
Yeah, okay. No, that will be the next example then. Okay, but then I can already jump to it in that case. Good. Okay. Then in that case, you can go to the next example, which is the first one-dimension example, the link mass. Okay. So this is now the tutorial group for one-dimensional space. And here we see a mass and the link put in together. I'm going to jump now this first step. This is just an explanation of the parameters that you can send to any of those two objects. We can go back to it afterwards. Then we'll go now to a concrete example. You can open it here in the basic circuit in the lower end. So, just a second. Okay. So, and this is a practical example of the circuit I mentioned in the previous version, which is one mass that is moving connected to one mass that is fixed. And what the user is going to do is to move the fixed mass, and then the mass that is free to move will react to the movement of that fixed mass. By the way, I should also clarify, when I say fixed mass, I mean that the mass is not interacting with another mass, so that it won't react. I'll show it now here. Okay, if you turn on the clock and you move the fixed mass here, you see that the other mass will move around. And its behavior is being defined by the parameters that is connected to the link. Example. You see now there's a bit of small damping so that it kind of reacts with differently. And you can already now, if you want, you can change here the presets, and then you'll see that the behavior will be a bit different. Now it has a much slower movement. And then here's a couple of different presets just with different behaviors. So now it's even much slower, and the fourth one is extremely fast. And the last one is so dense that there's almost no reaction. It accompanies the fixed mass. So I'm just going to open now the, you can open here this GOP, and you see here the circuit. So here you have the mass, which is moved here by moving the red slider, which is connected into the link, and then connected to the second mass. So what happens is that you have a mass with a link, and the second mass is connected to this link, so that when I move the first mass, the second one will react to it. But since there is no feedback, the first mass won't react to it as well. That we can see that in the next examples. So if there would be a connection here between this link to the first mass, then that would mean there will be a feedback between both of them. So that we're going to see that later, but this is not only the first example. And so as you are, this is a one-dimensional example, just to say it again. You get the position from the fixed mass. So if I moved here from 0 to 127, and what the link is outputting is then the force that is applying to the second mass. And then this second mass is replying, then it changes the position according to the force that is receiving. And the position changes accordingly. So, and also the velocity is derived from what's happening to it. Good. Just going to open here. Okay, here you can then later have a look at what's happening of the models, that you can see how it's being calculated. So here are the so here you can if you want then to have a, this might be what you are looking for with all the parameters, that in case you want to have a connection to the real world. Cases. The thing is that I think usually most artists that use this, they're not very concerned about all these values. I think from what I've read from Cyril Henry's description, their work is a bit more empiric. So that they build circuits that then do whatever they prefer to do, either both for visuals or for audio, and then they try just to have an interesting behavior from it. But since they're not, they're more artists than physicists, they're not really testing concepts or doing prototypes for some things that they want to test, like a hardware or something. So they, for them, it's really usually enough just to have some interesting behavior that then they can apply and at least control in a way. As you're going to see at some point later, when sometimes it can be a bit dangerous to change the parameters, but, because some of these circuits, since they run on their own accord, sometimes they can get out of control. And then mostly the best technique then is just to reset everything. Okay. Good. But here you can then try out a bit the values of this circuit. For example, the length here you can this is just a report on what's happening, and here you can change the behavior of the link. For example, if you can see here in the presets, when you change the presets, you'll see what changes between both of them. So for example, the fixed behavior, where there's almost no difference between the fixed mass and the mass that is depending on it, the damping and the rigidity and the mass damping are very high. So basically what happens is that you move something and you move one mass and the other mass just moves with it. There's almost no difference. In the other one, let's see, just a second. So the other one, which has a kind of much more slower reaction to it, see the rigidity, it's very low compared to it, compared to the first one, as also with the link damping. So, And one general thing as well, just to remind. So for now, we're running this network with a velocity of every 5 milliseconds. There's a new calculation being done. But of course, that can be changed anytime. Just a second. For example, if I put it 4 times slower now, it will be much, the reaction will be very different. So you see, this is also can also be a part of the programming, so that there is, since the rate of the calculations is also decided by the user. Okay. And now, okay, good. Now to come back to the parameters in general, you can have a. You can also have this information in the help files, of course, but here you can just see what parameters each element has. There's a difference between the parameters initialization parameters, in this case for a mass, which is usually the weight and the position, as a, the name in the first place, that's a given for all objects. And then there are the dynamic parameters that you can decide. You can put some limits to it, or then you can add forces and etc. And all mass objects then output usually have three outputs, where, as we've seen before, output the position, the forces applied, and the velocity. For the links, it's slightly different. So first you have the name. Then you can set the length. Sorry. The rigidity, which, as I explained here, the as higher it is, the more it's flexible. So that when I'll just see if I find an example here. Go back to the volume. So, for example, here the rigidity is 1. And now if we put it a bit up, you'll see that there's a much more movement. If I put it at 0, okay, that doesn't work really. So as I said, there's one thing important thing is that there's no failsafe here. If somehow the parameters don't work really well and you get into a bad situation, the only way of getting out of it is from resetting the circuit. Okay. Good. The damping is the next parameter that controls the resistance. And as you see here, just a second, the higher the damping, then the slower the reaction. I'm just going to, I forgot to put this back up to 5 milliseconds. Okay, and the last one is the last parameter for the link is then the damping applied to the mass. So that with 0 there is no resistance. And the higher it is, then the more resistance it has. Okay. So, yeah. Wait. Strange. I'm not noticing a big difference now. Good. This graphic here is just an informative graphic about the force that is being applied to the mass. So it doesn't tell you much. Anyway. Good. Let's see then. Any questions or or should we go to the next example? Okay. Maybe we can see, I have examples now in the. So if you see here the list of files, I have several examples in in all three dimensions, beginning with 1D or 2D or 3D. And some of them are quite similar. So maybe you can have a look now at the same example in 2D, in two dimensions, which is a 2D one link mass file. Good. And you see the structure of the patch is the same. So we have here just an explanation of the parameters that you have for both the mass and the link objects. You just see here, since now this object is in 2D, the outputs are now not single floats, but lists where there's an identifier, which has the name, position 2D, and then the values in the two dimensions. So one symbol and two floats. The same for the force and the same for the velocity. Ah, yeah, of course. It's the 2D 01 patch. It's the first patch beginning with 2D. So I've made some GEM simulations now, because now we're in two dimensions. You can turn it on here. And as usual, you also have to activate the meter that is going to do the calculation. So you can do that here in the second toggle. What is this now? So now you have a two-dimensional space here. And, oh, sorry, I clicked somewhere. And you have the same principle. You have, I just opened this anyway. You have the same principle, which is one fixed mass inside of this subpatch, one link, and one moving mass here. That's a second. Now what happens is that you can click somewhere in the GEM window, and the fixed max, which is the red one, will move, you'll drag through it, and then the green mass will follow it. And, And also according to the different presets that is chosen, then the reaction of the green mass will be different. So I think I'm using now similar presets than I used before. So the first one is kind of a normal one. You see there is no damping, I think. So but there's a very slow damping. So the green mass is slowing down very slowly. I'm just going to open the presets here. And if you change presets, then you see the green mass will react differently. One other detail is that since... Yeah?
How did you open the 3M window? This
window? The GEM?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's here, this first toggle. You have to turn it on. What's happening? Oh, wait. I have some bug in my GUI. I think I have to restart PD. When I click here, nothing changes. Just a second. No, my mouse is not reacting to the GEM object. Just a minute. This is weird. Okay, just a second. I have myself a bug now. For some reason, game stopped working correctly. It's not Windows' fault. It was working before. Okay, I'll leave it as it is now anyway. The principle is the same. There's only one thing, one new thing that I added. Here, this last toggle in the end of the patch. This is something you've seen in the next examples. Is that when I added some elements that you can have a look at so that you can see some internals of the circuits to see what's happening. Okay. I think for some reason some externals are not working now here. And just a second. And I think I know what the problem is. Okay, doesn't matter. I'll try to jump to the next example then. Yes.
The example with the 2D example.
Mm-hmm.
There you can move the mouse in the game window.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How is this done? Can you?
Yes, of course. Yeah, no problem. By the way, if anyone always have any questions about the circuits themselves, we can always try to approach that. I'm now at the 3D example, which I'll go back to that. I'll just go back to that. Just one thing, just to be sure, is this problem that the mouse isn't working happen on your computers as well, or only on mine? Because this was working just 10 minutes ago. Just to be sure that you have the correct patches. I think for some reason this should be a prepend instead of a prepend. I'll show it right away. I'm just going to fix this here first. Just 1 second more. Okay, good. Yeah, that's more like it now. Good. Yes, for that, if you go inside here, this GOP, I think it's in the gem window. No, it's not in the gem window, but I'll find it right away. it's basically interacting to the mouse, which is a gem mouse object. I just need to find where it is. Yeah, exactly. Yes, okay. If you go here to the fixed max mass subpatch, you have here inside there's another subpatch called the gem mouse, and this object here is the object that gets mouse data from the from a gem window. And what it's doing is that it's going, so it gets usually a list had several values. I'm getting from there the X and Y and the click values. So this is the X. The first output is the X, the second the Y, and the third is the click. And when I do a... So first of all, the X and Y values are being scaled. And when there is a click, they are being sent. So there's a spigot that is turned on. So, and then I'm sending the message set X, Y, blah, blah, etc. to the fixed mass. So that's why it's reacting to it. You can also see, this is what I was trying to show here. So if you turn on then this toggle here, it will just show some X information. In this case, you see the coordinates, actual coordinates of the elements. So now, which is in game, it's usually zero is the center. Positive values is to the left. Turn on the toggle at the bottom. This is just some X information I added using the text object or 2D text object, something like that. So you see here the actual coordinates, and you also see a line which represents the link. So this is also maybe a bit easier to remove the abstraction side of this content. So now you see the fixed mass. I hope now you can see clearly in real world. Then a fixed mass, a moving mass, and a link between them.
Does the size of the masses have
the corresponding? The size has no correspondence at all. This is just done in gem. So I could even make them only a minimal point, and it doesn't really make a difference. What could make a difference will be the weight parameter, as defined in the mass object. But that, of course, weight has no proportion to size, not necessarily. Good. Okay. Then we can see also then, just for completeness, we also see the same example in the 3D. If you go now to the list of files again and open the first 3D example, which has the same name, 3D01 link mass, you'll see again the same structure, explanation of the parameters, and then you'll see an example. Let's see. Which you can then use the same steps to turn on. One second. If you turn on now this toggle at the end of the window, you also see a display of the axis, so it's a bit more clear of what's happening. Because now we're in 3D on a 2D window, so it's not always. You can't look at it from the outside. You need to look at it through a 2D lens, so to say. Good. Here, since now we're on 3D and we can't use a mouse to operate 3D, there's a new control here which you can open here in this window, and in this we can then set the position of the red mass, and then you see as it moves and the green mass will be dragged along. You can also rotate the display a bit and then it will be clearer for you what is the current space. I'll just put it a bit higher now. A bit more to the side. And as usual, I think I was using the same presets in all these examples, so if you just change the preset, you'll notice that the green mass just behaves accordingly. One interesting thing is that since there is this internal metronome, which is running all the calculations, when you change the presets, or that means when you change the characteristics of each circuit, it adapts immediately. So you can anytime just change the behavior of the circuit, and it will change immediately. So this one is a bit more chaotic. But, okay. This can be very useful, especially when you run out of control of things and then you have to reset everything. Good. Okay. So today I'll be showing more simple examples. I don't have, unfortunately, not yet a real complex circuit to show you. We can go now to the next example, which then a string. There are examples in all three dimensions. Maybe we can start with the first dimension. This is the patch 1D02. Okay. And here you have a string is basically a group of masses. You have two fixed masses on the end and then seven masses between them. So if you turn on the computation of it and you move any of the two fixed masses that are on any of the ends, then you see all the other masses reacting to it. You can then have a look. So this is when things begin to become a bit more interesting, when you have a bit more objects to connect with. If you go here to the subpatch PD circuit, you can see then how everything is programmed. So I'll just try to show both at the same time. So you have you have the masses that are in the middle here, the masses in light gray. And you see that to each mass, there's a link between each of the masses, which is connected to both before and after the mass. So that the links go in both directions. So each mass is the other way. The mass is receiving information from a link and also sending it back to the link. And one small technical detail. These two masses here, they're fixed. That's what we call the fixed mass, because they're not being moved by the links. So one interesting technicality. There are really no mass objects here. There's just one float that sends the position of the mass. So as I mentioned while speaking about the theory at first, I could also have a mass object here. But since what that mass object does is only to send a float that stays fixed, it's really not necessary to have it there. So both here and here. Yes, exactly. It's exactly what's receiving. So this is just receiving the information directly from the slider. So here, this is the first slider, and it's just receiving this information. So since this is a mass that has it's not receiving information, what it needs to send is just one value saying the position. And in this case, makes really no difference if I have a mass object or just have, in this case, one float. When you see this in 2D, then it will be a group of two floats, and in 3D, it will be a list of three floats. So important then for the interaction is all the rest that is happening here. Just a second. So you see then, you have then the fixed mass, which sends a position to the link. The link reacts to it, it sends a force to the next mass. This mass then, I'll just try to make a bit more space here so that you can see the cables. Good. This mass then sends then the resulting position to the link, to the next link, which then sends a force to the next mass, and so on and so on and so on. But also the other direction, because you see that this link receives the position from this mass and sends it to the next one, but also sends a counterforce to the same mass. So that's why when you move it here, if the movement will go only in one direction, probably then you when I would move this slider, the masses will just move once. But since now the movement they're connected in both directions, you see now this kind of feedback that happens. And now to try also then to make some practical examples from it, I started to add some sounds and other elements to it. So I connected now the height of the sliders to the frequencies of some oscillators. Or if you want some noise band. So the height just means the amplitude of each band. If I increase the Q of each band. They're separate in octaves. I can have a look. 9 or 6 for PD. Okay. Yeah, I think this LDK is asking for 6 now. Audio is really nothing, so the load is only the GUI in this case. Just to see as well, yeah, the current clock is 5 milliseconds, so it's the same speed as before. But these aren't that many objects, so it's not that bad yet. The previous example where I had all these numbers and the graphic, that was a bit higher than this one here. Good. So as I said at the beginning, today we only speak about control, what we call control signals. So I won't be doing any audio directly with PMPD. But these are cases then where you can use PMPD to control audio itself, not generate, but to control, or visuals as well, if you want. Although the visuals I have here are not that interesting.
What is actually the difference? It's only the speed?
Yes, basically it's just the speed, yes. Let's see. So now you can see the same example in 2D, which is the second 2D example, 2D string. So it has the same structure. It might be interesting for you then to turn on already this button here at the end, where it shows the structure behind it. So you see then the two fixed masses in red. And when they'll move, you'll see the links. So now, as in the previous example, you can click the mouse, and it will apply a force to all the masses. So the position of the mouse in the screen will define the strength of the force. So the nearer it is from the center, the lower it will be the force, and the farther away from the center of the screen will be the higher will be the force. You also see that when you apply a force to it, the masses that react to it will turn yellow. And you can use this, you also notice there are more masses here. And you can use this object here to switch off on and on any masses you want. For example, now I only have two masses active. So they only two masses are getting force, but since they're all connected, you see how the parameters affect the reaction of them. Or I can even only turn one mass on. You can also see then, for example, if I turn a mass in the middle on, it will have a kind of effect on all the other masses. But if I turn only one of the masses in the edges on, the reaction is quite different. The mat object, that's from my library. I have lots of problems there. Okay, that's strange. Did you? The thing is that probably you didn't download the latest version of the library.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this is a new one. You can just remove the minus from it. Then you get the same object but vertical. Yeah, it's the same thing, it's only vertical instead of horizontal. Good. Now, if you want to have a look at the circuit itself, you can see it here in the PD circuit subpatch. And this is actually the same circuit as before. There is a, it's only a bit more complicated because of all the GEM modules I had to add to it so that we can see the simulation. You can see the fixed mass. In this case, I used a mass object because now we have a mass 2D, a mass in two dimensions, so it's a bit easier. And all the rest is just the GEM part of it, where you have a GEM head and then the, all the positioning and the circle objects. Good. And then you have the link that then is connected to another mass afterwards. And then here is just a simulation to show the link in the screen. Good, just a second. And there's a small audio example for it, where there's where each mass, the height of each mass says just the adjusts the frequency. For example. And also the panning, I think, if I remember correctly, because I didn't mention it. Yeah. Yeah, so if you see it here, so here you have 13 masses for the moving masses, and then it just gets the position from each mass, and then uses the X position for the panning and the Y for the frequency. So you can then try out. If you have all the masses moving very slowly near each other, you have some nice phasing effects from them. If you want to have, if you want to have a look at the same example now in 3D, you can open the 3D02 patch. Where now there's only one mass, one fixed mass at the top, the red one. And all the other ones are free to move. So there isn't a second fixed mass in the end of it. So just say, I'll just reset it. Ah, that doesn't work, okay. So now, I didn't have time now to connect my leap motion to this simulation yet, so I still have to use this slider to send some movement. Since it's a lot of work now to move all these three sliders and send something, you can click on this toggle here towards the end, where it then just simulates some activity for the patch. Might be better to zoom out a bit. And again, if you rotate the display, you have a better perception of the three dimensions working. And then, okay. Good. But basically what this patch is doing is the same as the previous one. It's just turning on and off the masses, making them active, and then just at some intervals sending some pressing, changing these sliders here randomly, and then just sending a bank just so that you can see it work. So about the circuit itself is also very similar. So you have one mass at the start, then you have the links connected to the other masses. So basically, actually, this is the same circuit in all three dimensions. Basically, what changes is just the number of masses, basically. Maybe we can then have a look at another case, okay, which is then a plane. Just a second. So actually, I think we've run out of examples in the first dimension. So now the next example in the you can have a look at the example 2D03, where it's now a group of masses in a plane. Just a second. Where you have now not one fixed mass, but several fixed masses that are then controlling one mass in the middle. So that means that this green mass here is being affected by four, not by one link, but by four links at the same time. Just a second. The circuit is itself very simple. You have one mass here, that is the green mass, and then you have a fixed mass on each of the four sides connected to a link to it. So it's basically exactly as you see it in the screen. You have a very, very unsubtle example of how to use the data, the X and Y data from it. You can show another. Just a okay. You can see now the next example is very similar to it. The difference is just that it had first of all the mass in the middle has no damping on it. So it goes on indefinitely, and it received a force at when the patch started to work. So instead of there's no mouse interaction here, the circuit just works on its own. So the only thing that can be done is just to change behavior by changing the presets. And the difference, I'm just going to look for it. Where is it? The difference is basically just this command here that at initialization time sent a force to the mass so that it began working. One interesting thing is that this looks a kind of chaotic movement, but it isn't really. If I close the patch now and start it again, I just turn the rendering first and start it, it will actually have exactly the same behavior as before, because it has the same parameters and the same force was applied to it. So it's like if you have a pseudo-random generator that you, with the same seed, basically it has always the same results when you apply, when you keep applying banks to it. But for the untrained eye, it seems like a chaotic reaction. Just stress something. Yeah, it's not making a big effect, but one thing that could be done will be then to switch on and off the links dynamically, for example. Then could have a different kind of behavior. For example, what happens if I turn off all links except one? Yeah, so you don't see it in the cam, but I just deleted all the other masses and all the links. So now this mass is only acting connected to this link here. If I turn it on again, if I undo, then all the links come back and the mass continues to react to them. So good. So just to repeat, what I'm showing is basically just really simple examples. So to do any interesting performances or results from it, you would then also to have a kind of long time control or a dynamic change of the parameters and not just let them run as they are doing now. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's because it's connecting with all the different links. So it's being pulled, pushed and pulled by all the different ones.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
It will, well, since we're in a 2D space, it will just move in the both two dimensions anyway. Since this mass has no damping at all, and it was supplied a force at start, it just excited the circuit and then it kept on going. Good, but connecting to the question that was placed previously, it's I think in general, from what I've seen also from Cyril Henry's work and others, the purpose is not really to do simulations of real world. It's more to do circuits that behave in an interesting way, in a way that you can control them as well. So I don't know, I guess someone can use this to prototype something. But usually I think it's not what pure data people usually do. Good. Let's see. I'll just have a look at the same example in 3D. Which is very similar as well. The difference is just that it's again in three dimensions instead of two. So this is a very simple plane now, but if you open the next example, which is a 5x5 plane, so you can see in 2D 05. You can see now, you see only 5x5 masses. If you want to have a look at the background, you can see that then all these masses have other masses supporting them. So the red ones are the fixed masses. And in the middle, now you don't have one string as before, but you have 5x5 strings, you could say that. And so now, yeah, here you can then select the force you want to apply and bang it to send it. And if you want, you can also turn on any number of masses you wish to activate. And then you see things start to get very fast, they start to get more complex, because then you can't really predict what is going to happen to each mass individually. You kind of maybe can know how they're going to react to each other, but or at least for myself, it wouldn't be that interesting to know what happens to mass number 3.4 when it has a force of 1.3. That's certainly interesting to know, but it wouldn't be the purpose for what I would do something here. As before, I also did a kind of automatic simulation so that you can also have a look. And and I think as I mentioned before, so these are very simple concepts. So all the masses have the same weight, all the links have the same parameters. You can then start also dynamically to change the weights of the masses, the properties of the links, switch on and off links, and then you can have much more complex behaviors afterwards. Very fast you can get to some things that are very unpredictable. Hopefully unpredictable, but not out of control. For that instance, it's very important to have the reset button. I think I didn't put any sound in this one. Okay. Yeah, the computation and the gem at the same time. Yeah, yeah. So the gem is just really so that people can see better what's happening. Yeah. I don't know if the gem is using that much, but yeah, of course you don't need the gem really. It's just maybe for someone that is learning and doesn't also know what's happening, then to have a look. This is also a reason why I didn't want yet to go into the other PMPD objects where you do everything not like this, but through scripting, where you only send text commands. Then to learn these basic concepts in that context would maybe be very hard, I imagine. And this is the basic circuit, the circuits are not that complicated, only the number of elements changes. So basically you have one mass, one link, and one other mass. And now you have that one whole column and one whole row for it. Of course, it might also be the interesting thing about using the other PMPD object is that you don't need to do all this cabling and patching. You can just send the text commands. You use it a lot, right, Maxi?
It's hard to keep track on.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, yes. Dynamic patching here is very hard. I imagine.
It's just messaging.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, make 10 masses and now connect mass 0 with mass 1 and then connect mass 3.
Exactly, yeah. By the way, also, do you use any CAM simulation or something to know how the circuits are developing? You just know it? Yeah, okay. Okay, so let's switch this mattress off. Good. There's also There's also a 3D example of the 5 plane, but it's not that. I think it won't be that different. The difference is only that it's in 3D, but anyway, in this case, it won't, since all the maxes are fixed on all ends, you don't see any chaotic behavior as you did with the string, where one of the ends were completely free, so it could oscillate in all the three dimensions. So let's see. There are maybe, I think I have two more examples, which are then slightly, this one might be slightly more interesting. Yes. No, three more examples, yeah. So, front to these number 6. You can see now a ball made of several masses, and as you can see here in the visual simulation, all the masses are connected through links. So each mass has a link to all other masses. What's happening is that the mass in the middle is the one that is fixed in the way it controlled by the mouse, and if you click somewhere in the screen, it will pull it. It will send a force in that direction to it. There's also kind of audio simulation. This introduces also another object that I have to look for it, which defines here the border spaces. If you remember in other previous cases, in other previous examples, it could happen that the masses went outside of the screen, and that's not happening here. That's because of this object here. Oh, no, sorry, no, that's the wrong thing. This is another case. I'm just going to look for it. Just have to find the circuit now. Here. The reason is that the masses have... I'll just copy this here because you can't really read it. The masses are using here these values to define the X and Y borders. So that the masses themselves are keeping them in boundaries of a closed space. Or the ball would have been already disappeared by now. And I couldn't grab it from under the screen. What is happening as well is you see that there's a kind of gravity here. A force is applied, but then it eventually comes down. This is what's being done by this object here in 2D, which is sending a force to all the masses. All the parameters are here. And you see this value of epsilon is minus 2. If I change it to plus 2, then the gravity goes the other way. Or I can also send it, the gravity, to the side as well. And then there are also the other parameters that I just added here. They're all switched off by now. But I don't know if this will make... Yeah, it will make a bit of a kind of difference. So this is now a case where things get slightly more interesting, where you only don't have only the masses themselves working, but you have some general control that applies to all the masses that are being active in the field. Just a second. Okay. Good. Regarding the synthesis itself, it's just an oscillator for each mass. When the patch starts, there's a random frequency, and also you see that the color of each mass changes when the amplitude is on, so that it gets more green and then more towards white when it's not really sending anything. So these parameters are all there for people to use in case they find any relevance for them. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This size of the display.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yes.
This in structure this structure items.
Mm-hmm. I'll just open it now. Okay, yeah. Yes, okay. If you open if you open this, no, it's my mistake. I didn't expand it correctly. If you open this abstraction here, the 2D06 max, you'll see here the mass 2D object. And then you'll see here, these parameters are actually here, there. And they're the last parameters of the mass. So in this case, they're being, they're part of all the mass. Since all the masses also have the same parameters, Exactly. Of course, one interesting thing could also be to give different parameters to all the masses, to each mass, so that you don't need all the masses to behave in the same way. You can have some masses can use only one part, other masses other part. So yeah, as I said before, if you start to change things very fast, then things will get very complicated very fast as well. And all the examples here are very simple compared to what you can do. good. Yeah, it looks very messy here to do this. So doing this with PMPT would probably be much more cleaner. by chance, also only for didactical reasons, the display of the circuit is similar to the visual display. Of course, this has no relevance at all for the for how it the result is going to be. The next example might be a tiny bit more interesting as well. The number 7, the interactive molecules. So, you have here lots of free masses that are not really attached to anything, but using the example circle 2D, they know when they connect to each other, and then they apply a force to each other and then repel each other. So if you turn on the processing, you will then see that they are really not fixed to anything, but they are, since the damping is off, they are just roaming free in space. And when they go against each other, then they just apply a force. You can see this in the color. They turn to red when they get a force applied to it. And here in this array, you just see also which with the force being applied to each mass. If you click this on, you just see the numbers of the masses, just for information. You can also turn on an audio simulation. You hear an attack every time a force is applied to a mass, so the amplitude of the attack is proportional to the force. By the way, the corners of the walls also count as force. You see that when a mass goes against one of the corners of the four walls, it also gets a force so that it comes back from it. Just a second. Good. Yeah. Okay. One thing is that if you want to try out, you can also just say how many masses you want to have, and this will reset, and it will just create the masses dynamically here. If I now say I only want 10 masses, it will now do only 10. If I want more, it will create more. So it's just adding the masses dynamically when you decide it. Don't mind the click. I wasn't that important for me. Yes, if you go then here in the masses subpatch, and then in the mass window, you see all the abstractions, one for each mass, that were added. And if you go there inside, then you see here this is the circuit for each mass. This is the mass itself is here. All this is just for the audio and visuals. And this is the part where the interaction is defined. Here, this object, the circle mass. So what happens is that the circle mass has some parameters here. These two parameters define the size of the circle, which matches now the visual demonstration. And this object is being fed with the current position of the mass, so which is coming here from the mass, and now it's being sent to it. So basically the circle is the same as the mass. So you have the mass and you have the interaction circle, which they match exactly. And so now, since all these belong to the same grid, every time they know that there is a mass in the same position, they just apply one force to each other, and then they react to it.
The circle outputs?
No, it doesn't really output. It just... sorry? Sorry, with circle you meant this object, right? Or the... Yeah. No, No, I think it doesn't need one. It's just one of those. Wait, if I open now the EMPT, if you see the object list, these are the objects that operate over a group of masses. So they don't need, you don't need to put them connections or something to each other. They're just like, for example, in the previous example, you had the gravity. This was being done by the ambient object, where it just only need to send the parameters of the thing, and it affects all the masses that belong to that network. So you don't need to put any cables or anything. I mean, you could also, I assume you can also do the same reaction by then putting links to the masses, but then you'll have, you won't have the same thing because you wouldn't have three masses. You have a group of masses connected by links, which would be a different thing. So just to finish, so the circle effect has the name mass, which is the same name as all these masses here. So it affects all the masses that belong to the same network. That's the interesting thing about this. So you don't need to control all the elements itself. You can just use these objects for general control, general behavior of these elements. So that's done here. So they just are assigned a random position somewhere between the bounds. The force, I think, not in this case because there's already the environment force. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they have no damping or anything. So they have their own inertia that just goes on. I'll just check. With this, maybe I'll just introduce, I think this is probably the last interesting example, but with this I'll just introduce the other type of objects that I didn't speak before. Just turn the sound a bit lower. So when I spoke about the list of objects, I mentioned these objects here that I didn't show yet. I've done, these objects just query parameters from the actual elements. I've put here now in the interaction plus information some examples where you can use some of these objects just to query parameters. So what they do is that they open up a space that you can use to detect, for example, this one here, the circle opens up a circle. You can define the outer and the inner circles of it, and everything inside of it will then be detected. In this case, you have to choose one mass to detect. For this, might be better to turn on the numbers so that you know which mass it is. So I've selected mass number one, and whenever mass number one is going to be inside this circle, the circle is going to turn red or reddish. Where is mass number one now? Yeah, okay, it's going? Yeah, no, okay. And so it just basically turns on this toggle whenever the mass is inside that space. So this can also be used to detect positions of elements, and then according to that also do something interesting with them. Of course, each object can only detect one mass, so if you need to detect several masses, you have to do several ones. And you can do send also the same example with the other different kind of objects. There's one which is a square, which is basically the same thing. Let's see. Yeah. Now it's detecting mass number one, which is now here, moving slowly away. By the way, these objects also, I'm just going to look for it. I can't find it anymore. What is it? Okay. No, this was the other one. Okay, good. The objects have different outputs. The square object only has really the on and off output, but the circle object also had the distance and the speed output of the mass that is scanning, in case that's of interest to know. So I just, second one is going to go in. Okay, and now out. So is that good?
Where is all the square?
Ah, okay, yes, of course, yeah. So the last one here, interaction information, and then here are the four different kinds of parameter objects. Of course, I can have several objects at the same time. There, oops. Good, and there's one which detects a line. you only see a line here, but what it's doing is detecting the everything that is. You have to imagine an endless line. And every time the mass, I'm going to turn this to mass number 10. Every time the mass number 10, the mass number 10 is now moving very slowly, so I'm going to look for another one. Let's see, mass 15. Just got it. Yeah, thing is that it's not that easy to find a mass that is going to show something without waiting a couple minutes for it to come by. I'm going to turn to mass number 1 now. And it just was turned away. So as you see, so 11. Okay, no, I wasn't there in time. Okay, mass number 3. It is almost like a game now, trying to find the mass that is going to show whatever I wanted to see. Good, but you get the idea. I'm just going to turn these ones off so that it doesn't bother. And then you have the segment, which is similar to the line. The difference is just it only affects the line that you really see, and not a line that continues ad infinitum. And as usual, you can also select the mass you want to scan. What is it doing is that it's just getting the position of all the masses, and then according to the number you selected here, it filters it, and then it sends information for the object to detect. Good. And then the final example, which is theoretically very interesting, it's a flipper game that you can play. I didn't have time to put some sound on it, but I managed to put some red flashing when the balls above are open. Okay, good. Yeah, that's it. When you're tired of patching, then you can just go here and do something. Okay. Yeah. So this was basically an introduction to the library. There are still, as you see, the matter is very complex. There's still lots of things to know, especially if you want to know everything in a way that you want to control it very finely. Most of the examples were adapted from Cyril Henry's original examples. Only the documentation wasn't very very detailed. So basically what I did was add lots of explanations, add game simulations, and add some audio materials to it so that it's easier to understand. Good, and I hope it was informative at least, or if you have any questions or something I can help with. Yeah. I guess so, yes, I have to speak with them just a few. You can find them now in the link that I send, but yes, I can send them also to the LAC. Yeah. I did them all in vanilla with those libraries that I, but if you open them in PerData or even PDX Sended, that should work. The problem is that you only have to have the external libraries besides PMPD, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only one?
There's only one, yes.
And for what would this be needed? Because we already heard sound with this one.
No, the difference, Max will explain it better than me, but the diff set, here was only generating control data. What I do with that control data is then my decision. But as far as understood, with the PDTIL, you can generate audio data directly. So and you can take over now.
Somehow dimensional, you don't see it, so you don't know what it does. So you say, okay, does it have five masses, and that's have been connected in a certain way, like these connections that you have to continuously get for power. And the masses, they just exist as a model, not as a three-dimensional or something. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what shape they arrange their shape. Mix. And then you can say, okay, let's put some audio data in one of those,
and this is going to vibrate. And then you say, okay, let's pick up the audio from number 5, and then this is how it works. So it's just bringing
you there.
And that can act as a really nice filter. For example, you have the masses connected to the linear beam, that sounds like a string. You have a grid of masses that sounds like a plate. You have a circle or something connected inside also, maybe that sounds like a triangle. If you want
to have your commentary on the session, I record it. Speak up.
Yes, sir. Just so one hack that Cyril sent me. I think this is an example that might be there. I didn't show this because it's not finished yet. This is something where it does direct audio synthesis, not using PMPD tilde, but using the same objects only activated by a bank tilde. So this is a kind of hack that Cyril Henry was using to do the same thing, basically just having a much higher rate calculation with this. But it's still done using normal patching and etc. No, I didn't include it because it's not really finished. I just, since the team came up, I just wanted to show this patch here. This is it's really not not done yet. Well, yeah, it depends. No, the thing is that you have to have the control, the rate is dependent on the metrum. So you have to have a you have to have a meter there. I never tried a meter zero, but no, meter zero switches it off. But anyway.
Be possible to script or to patch everything without the tilde and then just put a tilde on?
No, because that's the basic difference between the two. Without the tilde, you have the masses are objects, mass, lola. With the tilde, everything is messages. It's PMPD tilde.
Yeah, but to visualize it, there is also.
Yes, yes, that's true. Without tilde, so you can see everything, and then after what's
put tilde,
it's
not interchangeable, but you can build both at the same time, and then see what you're doing.
Nicolas, mangez-moi.
How are they called?
Yeah, it was in the first, I think I had the link in the first object, let's see.
Okay. They open source everything,
yeah.
You can download their DVD and
the patch. Yeah, it's here as well,
okay.
In the PMPD library description. Yes. Yeah, you can get not only a high quality DVD of their performances, but also the patches that they used for that, so it's very interesting. Okay, then you can switch off and I can hide my Windows computer.